podcast where we engage in dynamic conversations with industry leaders and trailblazers on the profound impact of financial services in driving sustainable development and creating an equitable society. In this podcast series, we shine a spotlight on the vital role of women in the financial sector and their contributions to shaping a more inclusive and progressive financial sector. This podcast series complements our in-person convening with TechBase across Africa. Our next event will be held in Nairobi, Kenya, this October 16th and 17th. To register, visit our website at ngazaforums.com. Now, in this podcast, we delve into the crucial role played by member-based organizations like OSAI in promoting financial inclusion. For the uninitiated, OSAI is Organization of Eastern and Southern Africa Insurance. Now, the proposed Manifesto for African Women in Finance emphasizes how the collaboration of financial institutions, policymakers, donor partners, and community organizations can foster inclusive financial services, driving innovation and bridging the gaps in accessing financial resources. This discussion will highlight the examples of industry efforts in improving insurance literacy, product uptake, and underscore the role of women in finance in advocating for women's empowerment. My name is Ali Mwakaneno Gakweli, and the topic for today's discussion is bridging insurance literacy and inclusion. And we're very, very happy to be joined by OSAI Secretary General Rose Wanda. Welcome, Rose. We're happy to have you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here this afternoon.
Let's get started. Tell us a bit about OSAI. What does the organization do?
So OSAI stands for Organization of Eastern and Southern Africa Insurers, and we are a member-based association domiciled in 15 countries across the Eastern and Southern Africa region. Our main aim is to promote the business of insurance, and we are able to provide a forum for exchange of knowledge, ideas, and even business. We also promote national growth by encouraging the retention of premiums to stay in Africa or within our member countries. We also promote development of technical capacity by providing training to our members and even non-members.
Rose, you mentioned that OSAI is a member-based organization. How do member-based organizations like OSAI contribute to promoting financial inclusion within the insurance sector? And maybe if you could mention any specific initiatives that have proven to be effective in the past.
Okay. I would say for associations, the best route or angle that we take is what we call financial education. And why financial education? Because when you educate people, then it boosts their understanding of insurance and insurance products. And we've seen some of our members, if I can mention, for example, Association of Kenya Insurers and even the South African Insurance Association, you know, conducting radio shows, having social media campaigns which are targeted towards the public getting to learn more about insurance. So I would say financial education is key.
As I was preparing for this interview, I read on something called the Manifesto for African Women Insurance. Could you tell us more about it, and especially examples of successful collaboration that have fostered inclusive financial services and driven innovation, especially in your industry?
So the manifesto is rooted in three primary objectives. One of them you've already mentioned, which is encouraging collaboration with strategic partners. So I'm going to get back and give an example. The other one is leveraging the influence of women in leadership positions within the financial sector so that they're able to promote financial inclusion,
right,
and resilience of women. And the third one is to prioritize leadership capabilities of women within the financial sector. So from the insurance perspective, we've seen collaboration between, I would call them, private organizations like FSD Africa. We've also seen insurers, leaders coming together and forming what we call Nairobi Declaration on Sustainable Insurance, where the leaders are committing to promote the UN SDGs. And out of this, then, we have seen a situation whereby insurance companies, reinsurance are coming up with products that are speaking into the issues that we are faced with when you're talking about inclusion, like climate change. Now, when I'm talking about climate change, sometimes you might feel that it's got nothing to do with financial inclusion. Mm-hmm. But what we know is that from a woman's perspective, it is women who are affected by the adverse effect of climate change. When there's no water, when there's drought, it is women and young girls who give up school. so that they can go to the rivers to pick water, you know, and things like that. So when we have insurance products that cater to this, to mitigate these risks, and we are seeing that our insurers are coming together to really tackle this aspect, this problem, then what I can say is that we are then having the women, the issue of financial inclusion, and especially poor women, we can say that their issues are being now looked into.
I liked how you've alluded to the intersectionality of issues. For example, what you said on how climate change disproportionately affects women and the lack of either preparation for or insurance against the adverse effects of climate change would eventually marry into other practices that affect women disproportionately.
Yeah.
Which brings me to my next point. There are gaps in insurance literacy in Africa, period. But then there are even bigger gaps when it comes to insurance literacy amongst women in the continent. Now, what are some of those gaps? Can you speak to the specifics and how it manifests in the industry? And how can efforts by organizations like yours address these gaps?
What comes to my mind is the issue of low income. So we have a lot of women lying in the level of the low income. And that would also mean that when it comes to access to knowledge, they might not actually even be able to access this information and even make decisions that affect them, including financial decisions. Yeah. And so this is where then associations come in. And when you're talking about associations, if I look at OSI, for example, we have an arm of the organization, which is known as GAL. And this seeks to empower women in the insurance industry. And when you're talking about empowering women, when you empower women to be better at what they're doing, to seek higher positions and to get equal pay, then it basically means that at the end game is we have more women having access to money. So they move from the low income bracket and they can also be able to access this information. And when you're talking about accessing information and low income, you might be asking yourself, what's the correlation? Currently, we use a lot of social media, which means you need to have a mobile phone, you know, or access to laptops, access to internet. Now, if you're in the low income group as a woman, your first priority would be, how do you feed your family?
Right.
You'll not go to buy a newspaper. You will not log into TikTok, for example, or YouTube, you know, to listen to information, because some of this information is easily available. But what about the modality that is used? And even when you're talking about, yes, we are saying that, yes, we do have roadshows being done. We have regulators who actually conduct roadshows. We have an insurance day. So you find in our member countries, there are a lot of insurance activities that happen on this day. But as a woman, if you're a low income woman, you'll probably be in the farm. Time is precious for you.
What you're saying here is that the fact that women in the low income cadre are a bit impoverished means they're by default, they can't access most of these information initiatives that exist. And they can't either afford devices or things like tools to access information are not a financial priority because they have more pressing needs.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And that's why I love the Angaza Manifesto, because it is aimed at prioritizing leadership capabilities of women. And for me, I believe when you have more women working, not just in decision making, but even in organization, then it means that we have less poverty in Africa.
Right.
We need to ensure that our women are empowered financially if we want to benefit when it comes to financial inclusion.
So women need to be in more financially rewarding positions in society. That way they can mitigate other issues.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Bruce, how can women in insurance leverage their positions to advocate for and advance for economic empowerment, particularly through improved access to insurance and other financial resources?
Okay, so when we're talking about women in insurance, and here the assumption is that this lady or this woman or the women, they're already in the positions of influence.
Like yourself.
Yes. So one of the things that I would really say that we need to do is to promote insurance products that speaks into the needs that generally women are looking for. And when I'm talking about those products, I'm talking about like car insurance, yeah? And our handbags and the valuables. You know, for me, I would go with an insurer who has looked at that, you know, that aspect that I could be, my handbag itself could be valuable, you know, the contents of it, yeah? But also women are known to be better drivers than men. It could be debatable, yes. But if I'm a woman in position, then can we come up with discounts programs, for example, that would encourage then more women to take up these insurance products? But also in terms of maternity products, mm-hmm. I think for maternity is a really sad one, because when you look at the issue of maternity, you find that they start covering the baby from maybe 36 weeks, most health insurers. And yet as a woman, you really have no say as to when your baby is going to decide to arrive. So if a baby is born premature, there are some products that will not cover the kid. So I think if I'm a woman and I'm in that position, then let's push for products that help to solve the problems, because the man might not even be knowing that. It's not that they're doing it because they want to. Probably they have not even experienced it. So the issue of the health insurance products are, for example.
What I'm hearing is you're suggesting for products or initiatives that put women at the center, not as an afterthought in the development.
No, yes, at the center. So you put Rose Wanda, and what are her problems? What are her needs? Things like when you're talking about death covers, and I know as an African society and some parts of Africa, we don't really want to talk about the last expense cover. But what you find is, and I've said this before, is that when the woman dies, you will fill the gap in the family, even if the man was the one providing. So we need to promote products that women can easily purchase at the click of a button, you know, using USSD codes, and they can also pay pole pole, what you call slowly, mm-hmm. you know. I think that's what I would do, and that's what I would encourage the women to do. But also in terms of the women in leadership, maybe also role model, they act as role models to other young women, and also the mentorship program, so that then we have more women in that space pushing for that product. It could be hard for one woman in a group of, say, 10 men to push for the product. But if you have more women all speaking the same language, then it becomes easier. So once you get into that position, then push for more to join you.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts. There's these two things that I've taken from the conversation that we've had. One, most of the issues we face as a society in Africa are intersectional. So for example, how climate change disproportionately affects women, and we have to think of how this entrenches itself all the way in communities at various levels, mm-hmm. to making sure that we reach women, all women, not just women in urban areas, not just women who have access to social media, not just women who have a smartphone and all that. And I especially want you to comment on the last point. What does an insurance industry that puts women first look like?
An insurance industry that puts women first look like, first, I'll not say that it looks pink.
Touché. Touché.
But I would say for an insurance industry that puts women first, then the data will speak for itself. Mm. You will see that most of their clients are women.
Women.
Yes.
Right.
So data never lies. As an industry, if we look at the data that we have, who are most of the customers that we have? If you can answer that question, then we will know whether we are putting women first or not.
Okay. It's an interesting challenge. I'm going to wrap up the podcast there. Thank you so much for joining us for this session, Rose. And I look forward to speaking to you further on this topic.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you again, and we look forward to hearing from you at the Angaza Forum, which takes place on the 16th and 17th of October in Nairobi. For more information about the forum, visit www.angazaforums.com. That is www.angazaforums.com. You can also interact with us on LinkedIn and X at Angaza Forum. Bye.